thank you for downloading this podcast. We trust you will be blessed by the following message from High Praise.
We are going to continue a series that we started well over a month ago, probably 2 months ago at least. I think I've shared four different messages within this series, but it's on keys to the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom. And I believe this morning that you're going to be blessed, that you're going to be encouraged. I believe that there's revelation knowledge that will flow to you that's going to make a difference within your life. I want everybody to understand that today I am not here to excite you. I'm here to impart into your life something that will make a difference. You know, the bottom line is, folks, if we come together, and there's nothing wrong with excitement. I mean, we enjoy the when zeal is stirred within our hearts and within our spirit, whenever there's a measure of excitement that's within the air. But understand this, excitement by itself is not what will do a reformation or a restoration or a change within your life and within your family. It is the understanding of the Word of God. It is an impartation of the Holy Spirit that brings change. It is the impartation of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that causes things to be rearranged within your life and causes a turnaround. Amen? While I'm ministering, Terry, where's Terry? I thought I saw Terry Sidney. So Terry, and are y'all still here, Terry? Where are you at? Terry? Yes, the Sidneys. I just heard the Lord saying earlier, the Lord gave me a word for you. I felt like the Lord was saying that there is going to be some opportunities that are going to open before you. And the Lord says there's going to be like expansion. And the Lord says, I want to give you exactly what you need. The Lord says, I'll not give you more than you can handle. But the Lord says, I'm going to give you right exactly what you need. And the Lord says, the next job will not be the same as the previous. And the Lord says, things are going to begin to move smoother. They're going to begin to come at an accelerated pace. I see some type of housing development area where all of a sudden there's going to be a lot of demand for you. And I don't know what all it's going to be for, but it's like your name is going to get thrown in the mix. And the Lord says, son, because you've been faithful to me, the Lord says, you will see my faithfulness revealed. And the Lord says, the family situations, God says, I'm going to rectify those. I'm going to turn those around. And the Lord says, the one that's been a little stubborn, God says, I'm going to cause a sudden turnaround within their lives, says the Spirit of the Lord. And the Lord says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. I'm at work. God says, even in areas where you cannot see, God says, I am dealing with their hearts. And the Lord says, I am bringing a turnaround. I'm bringing a divine shift in the midst of the situation, says the Spirit of the Lord. So, Father, I release that over the Sidneys right now in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Can you give the Lord a praise this morning? Hallelujah. You know, there's just a real prophetic anointing that is here today. There's a prophetic mantle, you know, and I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit manifests different ways. Every service is a different service, and understand whatever the Lord wants to do, we allow him to do. Now, there may be some people here this morning, you're visiting, you may, what are y'all doing? This is called the gifts of the Spirit. You find it over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and there are 9 manifestation gifts of the Spirit. There's the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the gift of prophecy, gifts of healings, working of miracles, a gift of faith, and you can go and read it for yourself over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But this is the gifts of the Spirit. Now, unfortunately, we don't see it in operation much in many churches, primarily because they don't give place for it. But how many know we're going to give place for it here at High Praise? Listen, I'm going to let Jesus be at the driver's seat since it's his church. The church doesn't belong to me, it belongs to him. And so Holy Spirit has been sent as the agent to lead and guide the affairs of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to allow him to be in the driver's seat. Would everybody say amen to that? Amen. And so anyway, are you in Revelation chapter 3? Verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, and he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. Verse 8, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. Then over in Matthew's gospel, chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, without going into a long review concerning these scriptures, let me just say this. We've already shared about the keys of the kingdom, the key of David, how that the key of David and the keys of the kingdom are really one in the same. And Jesus, we see, he says to Peter, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And I think it's very interesting that he uses the term keys there, not just a key, but the keys. However, over in Revelation, Jesus, talking to the church at Philadelphia, says that he has the key of David. Now understand that whenever the Lord says, I'm going to release keys to you, he is not talking about a literal physical key. So understand that the keys of the kingdom of heaven, they are not literal physical keys. What are they? They are gifts, they are anointings, they are graces, they are spiritual graces that God releases within the body of Christ that gives us power to bind and loose things. It gives us power to lock and unlock things. How many of you know that there are certain things, certain keys that God has placed and given to the church, and if we'll begin to use those keys, we can see things stop that are going on within the earth today, and we can see heaven loosed in the earth. My friend, if there's ever been a time that we need to see heaven loosened to the earth, we need heaven loosed into the earth right now. We need a revival throughout this nation. We need hearts to return to the Lord. There's a lot of things that are going on within the culture and the society, and I'm not going to take time to comment on all of them. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that we need help right now. You know, we're $18 trillion in debt. We need help. Amen. There's a lot of things that are happening right now in America. We need help. We need the help of God right now like we never have. And I'm telling you that God is calling the church to be the standard that he raises up in this hour. And one of the greatest things that we can begin to do is use our spiritual keys, our spiritual weapons that he has given to us, and begin to affect change. And it's got to start on a local level, and then it works into a county level, works into a state level, works into a national level. Amen. But understand, don't ever think that you can't do anything about it. That's the lie of the enemy. Well, I can't do anything. Listen, my prayers avail much. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the prayers of a righteous man avail much. What does that mean? That means they produce something. If I pray, did you hear the word of the Lord that was prophesied today? Mike gave the word. What he felt the Lord was saying today was a passage of scripture over in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, if my people. You know, it's very interesting that God starts the scripture out with the word if. Let me say this, if my people don't, it won't happen. But if my people will, it will happen. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will seek my face, will turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Listen, we have a promise that God will heal America if we will just begin to pray and seek the face of God. Amen. I'm not saying that we need to get involved in every arena and every area that we possibly can get involved in. If God opens a door, go through it, glory to God. Listen, I've had several opportunities to go pray at our state capitol in Tallahassee. As a matter of fact, it was Jeb Bush's last State of the State address. Whenever they had a joint session of Congress, and this only happens one time a year. Cliff told me there's about 500 pastors that actually apply to be able to do the opening prayer for the joint sessions of Congress. And I didn't apply, I didn't do anything, but hallelujah, I have favor. Amen. And they asked me to open, you know, it can be intimidating to a certain degree because, and I didn't know all of the everything that was going to happen other than when I got there. Then they began to explain to me, now, the Florida Supreme Court is going to be staring you right in the face. Literally, I could have reached out my hand and laid it upon their heads. That's how close they were to me. And by the way, they probably needed to be the closest. But you know, whenever the opportunity came, I didn't go, well, no, praise the Lord. This is an opportunity. Wherever my foot goes, God's given that land to me. I'm believing. Listen, I know I've only got 2 minutes, but I'm gonna fashion this prayer so that not only am I praying, but I'm making a prophetic declaration over our state and over our nation. Amen? And see, what would happen if every one of us, every child of God, every person who's a member of the body of Christ, every time we had opportunity, we would just step through the door of opportunity. You say, well, I've never had any opportunities. Oh, yes, you have. Has anybody ever had a fellow employee ever tell you that they were sick? Ever tell you they had a headache? Ever tell you that their family was falling apart? Listen, anytime somebody is in a crisis situation, understand this, that is your open door. That is your open door to see the kingdom of God come forth and be manifested within their life. Why do you think they're telling you? It's because they're crying out for help. I need somebody to help me. I need something to change within my life. Would you pray for me? Now, I'm not saying take them, you know, grab their heads and start, you know, jerking them or anything like that. But you can very calmly reach your hand out and say, can I pray for you right now? If they say no, it's okay. You say, what if they reject me? Well, what if they accept you? Amen? Let me tell you the worst thing that could ever happen. The worst thing that could ever happen is this. You will never have to hear them complain to you about any situations going on in their life. That's the worst thing that can happen. Right? I'm believing for good things to happen, though. I said, I'm believing for good things to happen. Yes. And so, you know, you just got to step out of the boat. Yes. There's only one reason that Peter walked on the water, but it's because he was the only one that was willing to step out of the boat. Is that you, Jesus? Yeah, it's me. Can I come? Yeah, come on, Pete. All right, here we go. Woo! See, you got to be bold enough to step out. Amen? By the way, it's not a crime to share your faith. And it's not a crime to share what you believe. And even if it were, you still ought to do it. Amen. All right. So the key of David, there are anointings, gifts, graces that God releases within the body of Christ that empowers us to open doors, to shut doors, to open things that need to be opened, to unlock things that need to be opened, to bind the enemy. You've got to understand, folks, what we are dealing with, although it manifests in the natural, we are in a spiritual warfare. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Everything going on right now, although you can look at it in the natural, or you can look, you see, believers need to begin to be able to look beyond the natural and to see what is at the root of it. And we have to be able to do that. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. We war against what? Principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. That's Ephesians 6, verses 10, 11, 12. That's what we're wrestling with. That's the real war that's going on. And until we actually deal with those things, we will never see right things manifested in the natural. Let me say it like this. As long as people's hearts are corrupt, corruption will be manifested in the natural. The way that you get corruption out of a society, out of a culture, is you got to deal with the heart of man, because that's where it originates. So you can try to cut it off with a law, but listen, I think everybody, see, that's the whole thing we have right now. Well, if we just outlawed guns, we wouldn't have any shootings. That's like saying if we made a law against theft, nobody would be stealing anything. Well, if we make a law against murder, nobody would murder anybody. How many of you know? Listen, the problem is not the law. The problem is what's in the heart of man. That's where we got to get to. And whenever a nation says, we're going to depart from the morality and the law of God, what happens is Pandora's box gets open throughout the culture and the society. And that's the reason we have in our society and our nation is in the mess that it's in right now. Although it manifests in the natural, at the root of it, it's a heart problem. Listen, that's the reason that preachers of the gospel need to stand up and boldly preach and proclaim the word like they never have before, because that's the only salvation for our nation. It's not another law. I mean, if we make a law against guns, and obviously all the criminals, they're not going to buy them, right? If you believe that, I've got some waterfront, oceanfront property out in Arizona that I'll sell you. Is anybody hearing me this morning? That's not the way it works, folks. We got to realize, listen, that's not a political statement. That's a truth statement. I'm not trying to be political this morning. What I'm trying to instill within you is the problem that we have today. Listen, if there's a family problem, there's a heart problem. If there's a problem on the job, somewhere there's a heart problem. If there's people that are divided, there's a heart problem somewhere. It may be manifesting in the natural, but it's a heart problem. There's a heart issue that's got to be dealt with, amen? And then listen, I don't care how many laws that you pass, a law will never deal with the heart of man. There is only one thing that can deal with the heart of man, and that is the power of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the only thing that has the power to deal with the heart of man. Can't deal with it in any other way. And we think we're going to do this, and then that's going to solve the problems. And the reality is, I think we should know by now, it doesn't solve the problems, because the problem just, it remains. So until we deal with the heart of man, you'll have the same problems over and over. They may manifest in a different manner or a different way, but the bottom line is you're still going to have it crop up somewhere else. Right? All right. Thank you. Praise the Lord. See, the reality is that's the reason that the Lord has given us keys of the kingdom. The key of David. The keys of the kingdom. They are keys that enable you to do exactly what Jesus said. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Can I tell you right now, heaven, I want you to get a picture of this. Heaven is just standing here waiting. When are you going to bind this? If you'll bind it, we'll bind it. If you will begin to take action, heaven's host is waiting here, standing at attention, saying, start doing something, start speaking something, begin to pray, begin to intercede, begin to stand in the gap, and we'll begin to move. There's an angelic army that's just waiting for people to begin to do something. As soon as you start loosing it here on earth, then heaven says, okay, we're loosing it. It'll be loosed in the heavens. Amen? Now, so there are anointings, gifts, and graces that I believe that we see manifested in the life of David. We've already talked about some of them. And the first one that we talked about was the key of kingly authority. Look at somebody and say, you've been given authority. Understand this. If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, if you have been saved, if you are a part of the kingdom of God, whatever terminology you want to use, the fact of the matter is, if you've been brought out of darkness into light, if now Jesus is your Lord, understand this, you have been given authority. You have, listen, authority is not something you're going to get one day, it's something that you have right now. You possess authority. You possess authority through the name of Jesus. Again, Jesus said, whatever you command in my name, that will I do. Whenever we begin to speak and declare God's promise, whenever we begin to speak in the name of Jesus, hear this. Jesus is there to back up whatever we say. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for that overwhelming response. See, you have been given a key of spiritual authority. You have been given the key of kingly authority. You are a king. Think about it. We call Jesus, and we see it in the Word, that he is referred to as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So this is the question. Who is the king that he is king over? If he's the king of kings and he's the Lord of Lords, who are the lords and who are the kings that he's over? Let me tell you what. Unsaved people do not qualify. You hear that? Just because somebody's on the planet, they don't make the qualification as being one of the kings. But see, my Bible tells me over there in 1 Peter, you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You know what royal means? It means you're a king. It says over in Revelation that he has made us kings and priests unto our God. Look at somebody and say, you're a king. So the kings that Jesus is king over are those who name the name of the Lord. Understand, kings have authority. Would you look at somebody today and say, you have authority? Now, the second key that we talked about was the key of spiritual warfare. And I could talk all morning just on that because, again, in the church at large, we hear very little about spiritual warfare. Now, you got to know that you have authority before you get into warfare. I'm going to say it again. That's the reason the first one that we talked about was the key of kingly authority. But then we have the key of spiritual warfare. In other words, you've been given weapons of warfare whereby you can begin to enforce every promise of God within your life. You have been given weapons that have power over the enemy. And we've talked about all of these weapons, talked about many of these weapons. We talked our weapons. We have the blood of Jesus. Everybody say the blood of Jesus. I mean, that's a weapon of warfare. Do you realize that when the enemy sees the blood, he has to pass over you. Glory to God. Can't touch that. No. Can't touch that. You can't touch me because I'm covered by the blood. It's a weapon of warfare. The name of Jesus is a weapon of warfare. Praise and worship is a weapon of warfare. I'm going to talk more about that in just a moment. Faith in itself is a weapon of warfare. The authority of the believer, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement, the prophetic voice of the Lord. All of these are weapons of warfare. How is the prophetic? You mean when you were prophesying today and all those folks were prophesying, that's a weapon of warfare? Absolutely. It says over there in Isaiah 30, verse 31, the voice of the Lord will shatter the enemy. The voice of the Lord will shatter the enemy. I love it. The voice of the Lord will shatter the enemy. With his scepter, he will strike them down. Every stroke he lays on them with his punishing rod will be to the music of tambourines and harps as he fights them in battle with the blows of his arm. Woo! Y'all excuse me while I get a little bit excited. Every time I quote that scripture, something on the inside of me just gets stirred up. Because I understand that whenever we begin to worship, whenever we begin to prophesy, understand this, we're not just going through some type of spiritual exercise. No, we're at war with the enemy of our soul, and we are shattering the enemy with the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord will shatter the enemy. See, that's the reason the Word of God is so powerful. The Bible says that the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. A two-edged sword. Listen, in the days that was being written, a two-edged sword was for one purpose. It was a weapon of warfare. And so understand this. The Word of the Lord spoken, that's a part of your weaponry. For you, first of all, we have exceeding great and precious promises. Everybody just hold up your Bible. Everybody just hold up your Bible. How many know what that Bible, what the Word, you can hold up your cell phone, your tablets, or whatever. Or point to the screen if you don't have one. How many know what that is referred to over there in Ephesians when he's talking about the armor of God? You know what that's referred to? It's called the what? The sword of the, it's the sword of the Spirit. It's a weapon you've been given. When the enemy shows up, listen, that's what Jesus did whenever he was out in the wilderness and he was being tempted by the devil. You know what he did? He began to speak the word. He took the two-edged sword. He took the Logos, and then because he was the living word, it became a rhema. I like to think of it, the two-edged sword is on one side is the Logos, on the other side is the rhema. On one side is the written, on the other side is the spoken. On one side is that which we know, but on the other side is that which is revealed. Oh, praise the Lord. You get a hold of this. That's the sword of the Spirit. And so what happens whenever Jesus was tempted, that's what he began to say. Hey, you're hungry. Make these stones bread. What did Jesus do? Well, let me think about that for a moment. Oh, why don't you just get out of here? No, that's not what he said. You know what he did? He used something that was more powerful than anything else. He knew his weaponry. All right, here's my time. Shing! Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right? Bow down and worship me. Oh, I don't know about that. No. He started quoting the word. He started saying, I'll not bow down to any other graven image. The Lord is one God. You will serve him and serve him only. See, Jesus begins to quote the word. He uses the word as a weapon of warfare. That word that is spoken has authority over every situation and any situation that you would ever face within your life. Hear this. I don't care what you're facing. There is a promise that God has in his word that you can use as a weapon against the enemy of your soul. Man, I just don't know what I'm going to do about the family situation. There's promises in the Bible. Let me just give you some. How many of you are in a situation right now where you're standing, you're believing God for a family member? Come on. Look at all the hands of people that are praying and standing for a family member right now. See, and you know what? I know y'all, because all of our kids, they've always been saved and always served the Lord. But I know one family member, and you've heard the testimony so many times, and that is Pastor Stacy's brother. And I'm telling you what, you'll hear all kind of things whenever family members are doing crazy things. Let me tell you what you'll hear, because I believed it. I believed it. I fell prey to what the enemy was saying until the word of the Lord came and corrected me. And I was fully convinced that my brother-in-law would never be saved. After he was real rude and nasty to Pastor Stacy on the phone back in 2003, I said, that's it. That's it. It's over. He is lost out with God. He's going to hell. And I was almost happy about it. Now, I'm just being real transparent here. I'd totally given up. I thought the man had went too far. Listen, there's some of you that are here this morning, you probably have thought, and the enemy's come and has said, they've went too far. They've gone too far. There's no way that they can turn around. My friend, there is no way that they have went too far. Because hear this, let me tell you why. It's because you've got a covenant with God. Y'all know the rest of the story, what happened with my brother-in-law and how that we stood and we prayed and we began to believe God, and the Lord began to stir our faith right before we moved into this new building. We bought a chair for him, even when we didn't even know what was going on. As far as we knew, he was still bound by sin, drugs, all kind of stuff. I mean, if you name it, he was bound by it. And I remember whenever we had the chair offering and got the I said, I want to buy a chair for my brother-in-law. And I believe that he is going to sit in the chair that we're buying. It's got his name on it. Hallelujah. And many of you can remember, it was Easter 2009. It was our second service. It was the grand opening of this building. My brother-in-law had mysteriously and miraculously moved back to town. Called him up. Asked him, are you going to church anywhere on Sunday? He said, no. Bruce Brogdon, where you at, Bruce? You're up there in the crow's nest. Bruce went over there and picked him up and brought him to church. And Eddie James and Excalibur were here on that Sunday. Again, some of you may remember this. And I can remember looking over at my brother-in-law during worship, him standing right there on the front row, hands lifted to the Lord, tears coming down his eyes as he was experiencing the presence of God. He got delivered. He got set free. He's married to a woman today. Hear this. The hand of the Lord is not too short. God will do it. This is the man I said, he's going to hell. God just Shut up, Robert. You don't know what you're talking about. Just watch what I'll do. You know what? I love it whenever God does something like that. I'm always willing to say, God, I was wrong. Has anybody ever been wrong about something? I know it's hard for you men to say that you're wrong. You're wrong. Y'all remember the Fonzie episode? See, there's nothing wrong with saying that you're wrong. As a matter of fact, everything that's is right about that. But anyway, are y'all still with me? Now, these are all weapons of warfare. Now, here's the last, the third one. I'm going to have to go really fast. And that is the key of praise and worship. The key of praise and worship. Whenever you look at the life of David, one of the things that you'll find is that David was a worshiper. And by the way, David did nothing halfway. We'll talk about this a little bit later, probably maybe another Sunday down the road here. But David said this, I will not give to God that which costs me nothing. So many people are wanting to give to the Lord what doesn't cost them anything, or they want to give to the Lord what's left over. And David said, I'm not going to give to the Lord what costs me nothing. If it's going to be a sacrifice, if it's going to be something that I give to him, I want it to be something that I do with all my might. I'm going to put everything that I have into this. The Bible says that whenever they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant after they defeated the Philistines, they went back, they got the Ark, the Philistines had the Ark, they didn't, and so when the Ark began to come back into Jerusalem, the Bible says that David danced before the Lord with all his might. David did not dance with a little bit of might. He didn't dance halfway. He danced with all his might. Now, I want everybody to understand this. You ought to be dancing in church. In the words of a song from the disco era, you should be dancing. Yeah. I want everybody to understand this. God is the one who created the dance. You know what? One of the first signs of something that dies is it stops moving. And you know what? You're not the church of the dead. You're the church of the living God. You're the living church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he has made us lively stones, not dead stones. I'm not a rock. I'm a lively stone. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? In other words, I'm a stone, but I'm a moving stone. I'm like one of those stones in Frozen. I'm not a troll, but anyway, you know what I'm saying. One of the first things that, again, if I was up here preaching, and all of a sudden, Pastor Gil Sanchez down here, he just fell over, but didn't move. No sign of life whatsoever, we'd probably call an ambulance, right? Because one of the first signs of something dies, it just stops moving. It stops making any noise, and it stops moving. Can I tell you, one of the first signs of a church that's dying is they stop moving, and they stop making any noise. There's no life. There's no vitality there. Because, listen, living things were designed to move and to make noise. If you go to a baby nursery, you know we got a nursery going on right now. If you go back there, there is movement and there is noise. You know what? You're not going to keep them for 1 hour or 2 hours back there. And God bless every one of you that volunteer in our nurseries and our kids' church area. But, you know, Levi, Mike and Chelsea's oldest son, Levi, and I know y'all have seen him around here. You have to, because he's all over the place. If you get with him, he never slows down. He has gotten into this wrestling kick. And he loves to watch wrestling. I don't know where he got it from. And for you that don't know, he didn't get it from me. He got it from his daddy. And I don't know where his daddy got it. I guess he got it from his brother. There's a whole story in that. I never watched any professional wrestling, and they got it from Their grandpa, that's what it is. It's Gramps. Skip the generation. But I'll get with him, and he always wants to play. He'll come into the office and he sees me, and all of a sudden he goes into character. I am not kidding at all. He gets into character. And then he sees me, and he'll start running at me, and he's got his arm like this to knock me down. I go, okay, here we go. So I'll go into my office, and next thing, and he'll grab me by the hand, and he'll swing me like he's swinging somebody into the, what do they call those things, the ropes. So he'll swing me into the ropes, which is my couch. And then he'll climb up on the couch and get up on the edge of the couch and jump off the couch on top of me. And listen, he will do that. He will do it till I'm finally, 10 minutes into it, and I'm going, But he keep on doing it. Just keep on doing it. What are you saying? I'm saying whenever you get kids together, whenever there's life, there's movement, there's noise, there's things that go on, the church was never designed to be silent. We've defined reverence as not saying, it's like not saying anything, not making any noise. Listen, the greatest way that you can reverence the Lord is by worshiping Him with everything on the inside of you, with every fiber of your being. What greater way can you reverence the Lord than worshiping Him in the way that He designed to be worshiped? See, so many people are looking forward to getting to heaven to get away from preachers and noise. But I'm here to tell you, you are going to be disappointed. Heaven will be the noisiest place that you've ever been. Have you looked at a picture of heaven? Read over there in Revelation 19. The Bible says that they're gathered around the throne of God. And the Bible says that the praise sounds like loud peals of thunder. It sounds like the voice of many waters, like Niagara Falls. There is noise all in heaven, all around the throne of God. Most people's idea, I'm going to get my mansion, have the heavenly elevator music. I'm going to have my, 250-inch TV there in my house, and I'm going to have a Lazy Boy recliner that massages me while I'm sitting there. Y'all don't look at me in that tone of voice. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Because that's how all of you, all, that's the picture that people have. Well, it's probably not going to be that way. Or, you ask somebody, what are you going to do whenever you get to heaven? Well, I'm going to worship the Lord. Really? How long are you going to worship the Lord? For eternity. Well, you can't last for 10 minutes right now. I'm hugging you right now. Isn't it? We're going to worship for eternity. And we're wondering, when's the band going to stop? Just think about that for just a moment. But see, one of the keys that we have is the power of praise and the power of worship. If you'll turn just real quickly to Psalm 8, verse 2. I'm going to have to simplify a little bit of this morning. I want to just at least share this one scripture, and we're going to bring it to a close. This is a key that God has given you. Look at somebody and say, we have the key of praise. See, this was an anointing. This was a gift, a grace that was upon David's life. Part of the key of David is a grace to praise. Part of the key of David is an anointing in the midst of worship. It says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Now, in many other translations, that is actually translated praise. In the NIV translation, it says, you have ordained praise. Anybody got an NIV translation? Does it say praise there? You have ordained praise And the part of the reason is because later on, Jesus actually quotes this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 21. And whenever he quotes it, he uses the word praise. And you can read that later also. But out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained praise because God needs us to praise him. Is that what your Bible says? You've ordained praise because of what? Y'all don't shout it too loud. Because of what? Why did God ordain praise? Why did God ordain music to be in the church? Why did God ordain there to be a worship team? Why did God ordain for you to lift your hands? Why did God ordain for you to enter into his presence with joyful singing? Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. See, so many people think, well, if I worship God, I'm doing God some kind of favor. My friend, you haven't done God any favor, but you've done yourself a really big favor. He didn't say, I really need, man, I'm going to have a spirit of rejection come on me if my people don't praise me. Understand, everything God initiated, he always initiated it with man in mind. He didn't send Jesus to the earth to pay the price because, understand this, he needed a family. He did it because he loved the people of the earth. He did it with man in mind. So everything the Father initiates, he always is thinking about man. He's always thinking about the man that he created. So whenever he says, I want my people to praise me, it's not because he needed you to praise him. It's because we need to praise him. Are you getting a hold of this? So we have to understand that God has ordained praise. By the way, let me just talk about that for just a moment. It says that he ordained it. God ordained it. In other words, man didn't create it. God ordained it. Man didn't decide, let's get music instruments and start praising it. No, God ordained it. Read it in Psalms. All throughout the book of Psalms, you'll find how that we're to praise him on the trumpets, praise him with the cymbals, praise him with the loud sounding, praise him with the loud soundings, praise him with the loud sounding cymbals. We have a lot of that here, don't we? Praise him with the harps. Here's our modern day harp. They still make a harp, but I like this much better, glory to God. And also the stringed instruments, those are modern day harps. Praise him with the organs. It actually says the organ. I believe that we can even see it happening with synthesizers and digital workstations, that musical digital workstations now that they have. All sorts of, and listen, by the way, anything that we can use to glorify God, then let's do it. Let's use it. Amen. Man, if we can do a light show and spell Jesus and everybody praise the Lord because of it, then hey, let's use laser light. Anything that we can use to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it's worth it. Hallelujah. That's the reason, one of the things that we made a decision, anything that we do here, we're going to do it with excellence. We're going to do it to the best of our ability. You know why? Because we're not going to give to God that which costs us nothing. Yes, it costs something. We have our worship singers. We have our worship leaders, our worship team. They come early every Sunday morning. They rehearse. They practice. They come early on Wednesday night. They come early on Sunday night. They are giving of themselves constantly. Why? Because they're not going to give to God that which costs them nothing. They have dedicated themselves to do it. And they are going to see the blessing of the Lord come within their lives. Hallelujah. See, this is a key of the kingdom. Are you following this? So God's ordained praise because of our enemies to silence the foe and to steal the avenger. Let me read this out of Darby's translation. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou established praise because of thine adversaries to steal the enemy and the avenger. The English Revised Version reads it this way: from the mouths of children and babies come songs of praise to you. They sing of your power to silence your enemies who were seeking revenge. Hallelujah. Do you know the devil seeking revenge against you? You know why? Because you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. At one point in time, he held you captive, but now he wants to get back at you because you've been delivered from his power and from his authority. But get this, you can begin to sing songs of praise to the Lord, and the enemy will be silenced. The enemy will be shut down within your life. Amen. Listen, the reason I get excited about this and get passionate about it is because I believe it. I'm not just telling you something to try to tickle your ears. This is what the Bible declares. This is the promise of God. Why did God ordain praise? Because of your enemies, not because he needed it, not because he has an ego problem, not because he's going to fall off the throne if you don't, not because a spirit of rejection is going to come on him if you don't worship him. No, he ordained it because of your enemies. To silence the foe, let me say it like this. You are the one that is benefited whenever you begin to worship and praise him. The word silence there, to silence the enemy, it is the Hebrew word shabath. And this is what it means. It means to cause to fail and to suffer lack. Has anybody here ever had the enemy attack you with lack? Huh? All right, thank you for one honest person here too. All right, yeah. Probably all of us at some point in time had the enemy attack us with lack, insufficiency. Well, let me tell you this. You can begin to praise and worship him. And what it says here, what the Bible says, what God's word says this, is that you will cause the enemy to suffer lack. See what happens? People get attacked and all of a sudden they don't want to praise. They're depressed. No, listen, that's the exact opposite of what you need to do. You need to get your key of praise and say, I'm going to begin to insert it into the door and I'm going to begin to open up heaven's resources with my key of praise. Hallelujah. See, I'm not going to be the one that suffers lack. I'm going to send lack back to the camp of the enemy and provision will be released from heaven in my life. Amen? So see, you have to have that understanding. The time that you feel the least like praising is the time that you need to praise him the most. Not because of what he gets out of it, but because of how you are going to be benefited at the end of the day. Amen. Now this is what's very interesting. I'm closing with this. After the psalmist talks about the power of praise in Psalm 8 verse 2, I want you to skip down to verse 6 of that same chapter. We're closing with this. Are y'all still with me? Thank you for your patience this morning. Psalm 8, you have made him. Talking about man. Talking about you. Look at somebody and say, he's talking about you there. You have made him or made her, whichever it is, male or female. We'll limit it to that because that's the way God created it. You have made him or her to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. See, he talks about praise and the power of praise to silence the enemy. He's ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and to steal the avenger. Verse 6, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and he has put all things under his feet. You have put all things. What's he saying? He's saying this. One of the keys of the kingdoms is praise and worship. One of the keys that will cause things to be unlocked within your life. I'm talking about heaven's best. Is whenever you take the key of praise and you begin to praise the Lord in the midst of a situation. In other words, regardless of what may be going on, you go ahead and lift your hands and you start thanking God. Let me tell you what the Bible says over there in Jonah. We read the story about Jonah. The Bible says that Jonah, of course, he was grumbling about his assignment. He didn't want to go where God told him to go. God told him to go to Nineveh and said, no, I'm getting on a ship to go to Tarshish. Mistake number one. And then he gets there. They have a storm. They throw him overboard. And when you read Jonah's in the book of Jonah, all the things that are going on, it's all bad. He's not appreciative of the assignment that he was given. But what it says at the end, I believe it's chapter 2, it says, nevertheless, I will offer up to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Next verse, and God spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited him on dry ground. What are you saying? I'm saying if you lift up your hands and begin to praise the Lord in the midst of whatever situation, the whale's belly, whatever it may look like, hear this, God will begin to move on your heart. There will be a key that is inserted and things will be opened up within your life.
We trust you received from this powerful message. If you are being blessed by the ministry of High Praise and would like to sow a financial seed, you can do so at our website, highpraisepc.com. At our website, you will also find more information about our services and resources that we have available that will be a blessing to your life. Also, connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for downloading this podcast from High Praise.